time to get underway with Radio Friendships. Stay tuned as your hosts, Don and Sandra Tipton, share exciting news about what God is doing throughout the world in this missions-minded radio broadcast.
Great day and welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed, the producer of Radio Friendships from Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Now today we'd like to bring you a rebroadcast of a fireside chat between Don and Sandra Tipton as they speak about disaster relief. Now during this they recall some of their early missions and some past hurricane experience. But I want you to keep in mind that this was recorded in May of 2007. That's over a year and a half ago. Now, if you watch the news at all, you realize many things have happened since that time that have left people in desperate need of help, and especially love brought in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, just this year alone, Friendships was able to help by sending tarp to Tabasco, Mexico. We loaded two 40-foot shipping containers with supplies for storm relief to the Dominican Republic and to Haiti. We were also able to send a container of relief supplies to the devastated nation of Myanmar. Then in May of this year, Friendship sailed to the island of Nevis in the West Indies with a mission that brought medical treatment, food services, and children's program to more than 2,000 people. And then most recently, Friendships was able to provide disaster relief for Hurricanes Gustav and Ike. Now there's many other things that happen right here at Port Mercy that affect this world in a positive way through the love of Jesus Christ, but none of it would be possible without the prayers and support of you. So we thank you and we hope you enjoy the program today of Don and Sandra Tipton on disaster relief.
One of the first experiences that Friendships had with disaster relief was in the mid-90s when Hurricane Andrew devastated Florida. Don, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. We had a ship on its way to Albania over by Yugoslavia, where it was communist at the time. Albania was just becoming a free country, and we were going to go over in that region and help them out and love on them a little bit when Andrew hit Florida. Man, it just tore it all to pieces. We happened to be going by, so we pulled up, dropped anchor in the bay. The crew jumped on the shore boats, and we went in and started building tent cities. We were one of the first groups there. And the place was a mess, and the 10th Mountain Division hadn't gotten there yet, any of the aid agencies. And there we stood with all these people, and we started putting up tents and kitchens and feeding people and ministering and loving on people. We had a great time. We were there for weeks. Then the 10th Mountain Division came in with all our helicopters and all the stuff they carried, and you know, train loads of stuff started arriving. There was no one to give it out, and there we were. Every neat thing in the world to pass out to people and to pray with them and to help them. And you know, and then when all the other agencies got there, we jumped on our ship with millions of pounds of food and clothes and medicines for Albania and for Yugoslavia, Croatia, all through that region. And we took off. So it worked out just perfect. And that was our first taste of disaster relief. What a trip that was.
Then in 1998, Hurricane Mitch, which was one of the largest hurricanes to ever enter our hemisphere, devastated Central America. Friendships responded there too. Could you tell us about that, Don?
Yeah, you believe that for sure. We were there. Our ship had been down there, and we have on an island right off the coast of Honduras. We have 30 acres on a little place called Roatan. We go through the reefs and come up into a lagoon, and we got about 1,000 feet of beach. We have this 30 acres where we're building this facility there. And the ship just pulled out ahead of the storm, and they rode out the storm. And it, boy, what a ride that was. And we went back to the United States, refilled the ship, and came right back in. So again, we were one of the first ones into the hurricane, into this devastated mess. All of the aid was being flown in, and it was coming up to Tegucigalpa, which is the capital city of Honduras. It's up there 5,000 to 7,000 feet up in the mountains. The rains were so heavy with Mitch that it washed out all the highways and bridges, and you couldn't move around the country. country at all. You were completely isolated, so the airlines were just packing the airport. There wasn't even room for the planes to land. At one point, they had to stop bringing in aid, but none of the aid could get down the hill where all the people were stranded down by the coast. There's millions. They had two helicopters working that whole region for the first couple of weeks. It was a real bad situation. And our ships were neat because we have landing crafts and we can pull up with our ships off the coast and splash these boats in the water and fill them up with huge amounts of stuff. And we can go up on the beaches and we can go up the swollen rivers right into the camps. We carry pots and pans and we kick out a lunch and dinner, ring the dinner bell and break out the guitars. And we're singing and playing and feeding people and having the best time. And we bring so much stuff with us that we can leave them groceries so they could just keep eating after we pulled out. And we could sit off and go down the coast because nobody else could move. The roads were all gone. But with the ships, we were able to really help those people. And then we went into the islands where they weren't getting any help at all. And they were totally, the hurricane set out there and spun on those people for a day and a half at 200 miles an hour. It was one of the worst hurricanes ever recorded. And it blew every blade of grass off the ground in some places. We were there with millions and millions of pounds of food, clothes, and all sorts of exciting things for them, blankets and everything. We brought in a total of about 18 million in three trips. And so we'd just empty out, and while our landing crafts and our people, and they were working our village there and our islands, and they were going into the mainland, we'd go back and get another load and come back, set off and keep delivering. We actually were able to put in more stuff there, Jesus and us. You know, it was just really fun to hook up with Jesus and go to these places. But we were able to put as much aid as most small countries sent in. So it was fun, and the stuff just kept coming. And we realized what a great thing it was to be there with these ships, to be able to go in there and lift up the name of Jesus and be there as his servants and help these people at a devastating time. You know, when something happens in our country, even if it's Katrina, we're going, oh my, oh my. But you ought to see Katrina happening to these other countries and other islands. Well, there is no federal aid. There is no help. You know, we think we got it rough, man. You can't, you know, which we did. We were in the middle of Katrina. We were downtown with our ships on the Mississippi and New Orleans. And we know what it's like for these people in foreign countries that just don't have the enormous blessing of God on the country that we have and the support.
Before we start talking about the New Orleans and the Lake Charles hurricanes that we endured in 2005, can you tell us about the island of Guanaja? There was a remote village called Mangrove Bight where the landing craft visited, and the people had just constructed a warehouse. Can you tell us that story, Don?
Oh, that was it was such a rough ocean on that side that we dropped anchor on the backside of the island in calm water and splashed the landing craft, and we loaded it with just tons and tons of food. But we went around the backside into the rough water, and the water was coming over us, and we were loaded with people. There was people all over the food, all over the boat, hanging off the sides. And we came around the island, and we got there just about dusk dark. And as fast as we could go, we just couldn't get there before it got dark on us. And we were going through the reefs and in and out of all of these reefs with our boat. And we had people in front of us with sticks and everything trying to find the deep enough water to float us in. And we finally got in, and there was bonfires all over the beach. And these people were sitting out on the sand by the bonfires. And you looked, and it was just massive, massive devastation. There wasn't anything anywhere that was upright or looked like it was living. And I remember thinking it felt like Vietnam, lock and load, smoke in the air, and it was drifting over the ocean, and you could just see through the haze all these fires and people milling around. And we pulled in, and they were so excited to see us. They hadn't seen anybody in a long time, and we pulled in with this huge boat full of groceries, and we got up to this little makeshift dock, and these people come running up so excited. We got out our pots and our pans and the guitars, and we started cooking food, and we were making soup, and the people all gathered around. It was a party time. They were dancing. They were excited, and we were there handing out all of this food, and finally, everybody ate, and they came with their wheelbarrows and whatever they could carry in the water, and they took it to their campsite. And then they had this little makeshift bodega, what they called it. It's called a warehouse, that they had put up a community little structure to stuff anything in, trying to get it out of the weather. It was much bigger than our boat. And we started taking stuff out of the boat and formed the line of all these people going up to this bodega. And they started handing, hand over hand, all of this food and clothes and water and milk and, you know, everything you could think of. And it just kept going and kept going. And the line was seemed for the longest time. And I walked over and looked in the bodega. The bodega was filling up. This little warehouse was just packing. They were packing and stacking. And I looked over at the boat, and they were still unloading. And I thought, this can't be, because this is bigger than that. But that just keeps coming. And I sit there, and I watched in the evening as they were singing and praising the Lord, and these people were clapping and shouting, and you could just feel the glory of the Lord, but the food kept coming, and the warehouse filled up, and they were hollering, we're running out of space, we're running out of space. I said, is there anything left in the boat? And they said, lots, lots. And we just filled the warehouse up, and there was still stuff in the boat.
It was amazing. Everyone came with their wheelbarrows. Everybody took as much home as they could in the whole village, yeah. And we still filled the warehouse, and there was more to come.
Yeah. It just kept coming. I thought the boat somehow had grown while we were there, and we couldn't get out through the reef because the water was too black and you couldn't see where the rocks were, and it was too dangerous. So we slept there overnight, and we looked in the morning, and we could not believe this little boat filled that huge house. And when you opened the door, you had to be careful it didn't come out on your head. It was just an amazing time. And they had a wonderful story there. There was only one house that wasn't completely creamed. There was this American man that built a little square box of a house. As the houses were being destroyed, and the people would say, they would run from one house to another, and then the water would come and smash the houses up and take it out to sea, and they would all hide in this other house, or several of them. They would start to go to another house, and they would say, no, come here, we're full, we can't have anybody, go somewhere else, you know, and they would wave them away, and pretty soon they would have to run from their house, and it would smash and crash. And this man stood at the door, and they were all telling us this wonderful story. As he stood there and waved to him, come here, come to my house. And he stacked them in his house, and there was standing room only. Nobody couldn't even sit down. People were pressed up against each other, standing to get out of the horrible wind and the rain, and the rain would hit you like sandblast. In fact, he got all his tools, gathered them together, and put them in a closet, then jumped in on top of his tools and shut the door. And he rode out the storm sitting on his carpenter tools. And when it was done, and all the people said, don't come here, we don't have room for you, go somewhere else, all of them lost their houses. And these are the people that lost their houses telling us the story. But his house, the man that kept waving, everybody, come here, we'll make room for you. There wasn't even a shingle missing on his home. Nothing. They all pointed to the miracle house. The miracle house that was the house of friendship that invited everyone to shelter from the storm. It's like the Lord protected that house. The only house standing there. That was a wonderful time.
It was. You're listening to Radio Friendships with Don and Sandra Tipton from Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Now let's move on to talk about what happened here in Louisiana in September of 2005, when Hurricane Katrina hit, of course, one of the most damaging hurricanes ever to make landfall in the United States. What part did Friendships have to play in that, Don?
Well, you know, Friendship had just been given a Jet Ranger helicopter from Trinity Broadcasting, Paul and Jan Crouch. You know, these people really work to help the poor. They just don't get the credit that's deserved. And so they give us a helicopter to work in disaster and to help find people and to feed people. And when this happened, we took off for Katrina down in New Orleans to see if we could help the people down there. We were down there flying around and we saw that the severe need and the flooding, the people on the houses. So we just went to work down there. We came back. We loaded our ships with all that we needed for disaster relief. First, we took Hope down and went downtown to Gretna, and the mayor, Randy, said, would you guys talk to the mayor at Gretna? He's asked for help, and they're not getting any help on their side over there. Could you check into helping them out? So we went and met with them, and they invited us there. And we went down under the bridge to a big warehouse on the Gretna side, but downtown, nevertheless, New Orleans. And we had a big warehouse to use and docks, and we had our ship up against the warehouse. We got in there and decided, man, there's more people coming, and there's no hotels. There's no water. There's no hotels. There's no food. There's nothing here. We were the only ones there. We were a ship that was docked downtown. We were a floating hotel. So we thought, we better go get another one. So we went down and got Mercy, our other ship, and we took off and we tied them together down on the Mississippi downtown. And we had hundreds and hundreds of volunteers coming from all over the United States, the churches and groups, and they would come down there and stay with us on the ship and stay in the warehouse. And over a period of a couple of months, and we had kitchens inside and outside, and the ships have kitchens and they have bunks and air conditioning. And somebody gave us a radio station, and we got a permit immediately for Radio Hope. And so we were broadcasting all of the emergency information right off of our ship. It was our first radio station. We were up and live with our own communication. And we had military trucks down there and chainsaw teams. And, you know, there's a group called Siemens that gives us tarps. We had millions of yards of tarp ready for the next hurricane or disaster, and we would love to share this with other groups, groups that want to put up awnings and roofing and all of this roofing tarp. It's good for thousands of different things, and we'd love to share if you have a need of sending roofing material over to other countries to missions. You know, as long as it's a mission and it'll glorify Jesus, we're excited about it.
And it's free.
So if people are interested in this, it's for non-commercial use, not to be sold, but to use to advance the kingdom.
Absolutely.
You can call our office at 337-433-5022 or check out the website at friendships.org. Don, people might be thinking, well, why would I come from somewhere across the country to help with a hurricane in, say, Florida? Couldn't the local church do that?
You know, the problem with the local church is they're a victim as well. And you want the local church to get up and help the neighborhood and, you know, to glorify God. But that local church man, he's standing there with his own roof caved in. Or he doesn't know how he is going to refrigerate the food for his own family. This is the time when other people need to energize. The problem is, during some of the hurricanes that we go to, there isn't a hotel room for 150 miles. We have driven 150 miles just to find a room to stay in, and we were lucky to get that. So it's not something that people can just come to, and that's why we're really fortunate when we have the ships, because the ships are floating hotels. We have air conditioning, we have bunks, we have kitchens, and we can haul massive amount of food, and we can make our own water. And when we pull into somewhere, you know, 70% of the people in the world live in a port city on the coast. It's an amazing statistic. And most of this devastation happens in ports and on the beaches. So the ships are just a given. They're really fabulous. They're able to come in and all of a sudden bring in with them trucks and equipment. You know, we have our own dump trucks and backhoes and bobcats and deuce and a half military six-wheel drive trucks. And we have buses and we have refrigerated trailers. We have 5 or 6 50-foot refrigerated freezer trailers. And all this equipment, we have our own generators and huge tents. We have tents for hundreds of people at a time. And our own medical facilities where we can host doctors and teams that can get in with a complete unit like a doctor's office. God has allowed us to be really capable and ready. We're sort of ever ready soldiers, ready to go. There's a disaster. Thank you, Jesus. We'll be there.
You know, one of the big needs in a disaster is fuel, diesel fuel for your equipment and your vehicles. And that's another place where the ship comes in handy. We come up with big tanks full of tens of thousands of gallons of fuel right there with us, along with fresh water. And as you say, all the cooking facilities. So we encourage you, if you would like to be part of the Friendships Network that responds to a disaster, go to our website, friendships.org, or call our office at 337-433-5022 and tell us that your church would like to register with us to be notified when a disaster happens. You know, you can't always get into the area that's affected because it's controlled by law enforcement. But if you team up with us, we make all those arrangements. We tell you what's needed, what kind of personnel are needed, what to expect. And we provide the housing and the food and a system where you can be effective to reach out with the love of Christ in a situation like this.
And the people are as safe as they can be, as safe in a disaster. You know, you need to bring your common sense when you come into a disaster area and you're trying to help people. We are able to go out into the houses and knock on the doors and check on the people and bring them food. And we go like in Gretna, New Orleans and we would go to the door and say hello and ask them if they need roofing. Do they need chainsaw work? Do they need food? Are they out of food? Do they need water? And we would take a grocery list and they would be so surprised the next day. Here we would come with a box of all they need. And we could even give them down to toilet paper and Kleenexes and different medicines and whatever they wanted. This is a good thing because, you know, the Lord has made us sea mobile. We're kind of like the rock groups have those, what do they call a roadies? And we go in and set up the whole thing and we turn on the music and set the scene and cook the food. And the people come and they do their wonderful anointed gifts for the people. You know.
In the couple of minutes that we have left, Don, could you just tell us why you believe that this is important work for Christians to do?
You know, when these people are hurting and everything is caved in around them, the walls have all come down and they're standing there. All of the things that used to matter to them all of a sudden are now in question. And who is the real God and what is important in my life? And what things really matter. And it's just a wonderful time to be there to say, we love you, and God loves you, and we care about you, and we'd like to be there to share some of his love with you at your time of need.
You know, also we encounter many Christians who are crying out to God for help, and what a rewarding experience it is to show up at their door and say, in the name of Jesus, here we are. And they cry and say, thank you, I was just asking the Lord for help. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, it's a wonderful time because, like I said, the walls are down. You can talk from spirit to spirit because all that matters is what really matters. And it's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be there working for your Lord.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Friendships as we listen to a broadcast originally aired in May of 2007 as Don and Sandra Tipton reflect back on some of their past missions and disaster relief endeavors. It is a good reminder of why we should trust God in all things. You know, many times we will receive goods here at Friendships not having a clue what it's going to be used for, but in trusting God. And given a little time, the reason becomes acutely apparent, and we realize that God had it all planned out from the beginning, and we do well when we trust Him. Well, you have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.